Bye.
Hello, welcome to Knock Knock High with the Glockenfleckens. I am Dr. Glockenflecken, also known as Will Flannery.
I am Lady Glockenflecken, also known as Kristen Flannery.
Thank you for being here on your commute.
Yeah.
Or
we're so happy you're listening.
Or you're
watching,
drifting off to bed. Whatever you're doing.
Oh, do you think people use us to fall asleep?
They use my... I have been told I have a somewhat soporific voice.
Yeah, tell me about it.
You
but set me up
I'm
that one.
I know. I'm like an ASMR type of voice.
Yeah.
I guess.
I could see that.
Yeah. And then
maybe
plus,
we should do a special sleep episode we use our best.
I'm already
sleep
doing the
voices.
Eye episodes. That's probably
true.
Enough.
That is true. That's enough for me.
people also listen to the Knock Knock Eyes while they're driving.
Yes.
So not doesn't
so don't
doesn't
do that if
some
eyeballs
people,
make you bored enough to fall asleep.
Some people it makes them very excited.
Yes, some people lots of people are very interested in it.
Just
I can see the point. It's just I'm not one of them. But you know, more power to you, and I am happy that we can provide a service to you.
Are you excited about April?
April, I'm always excited
just
about April
general.
Because by that point I am ready for winter to just
you're done
get
with
out
winter.
Of here. Yes.
It starts getting crazy.
It
in our lives.
It does. That is the one downside. April, May.
April is.
Very busy conference seasons.
April and May is conference. Is like when everybody wants to have their medical conferences.
Yes.
And we do
in
a lot
the
of
spring and in the fall, we get two like really busy periods of time.
Yep.
So, but it's good. It's good stuff. I like, you know, going around and traveling, talking to people, sharing our story and, you know, being able to like be on the ground. Like normally we're just here in this room. You know, just the two of us talking to ourselves. So it's nice to actually get out and like meet people.
Have we ever done any April Fool's jokes to each other?
Do you think it would be possible at this point? I feel like it'd be really, really hard.
I could probably prank you.
I don't know if you could.
Are you kidding? You are deathly afraid of spiders.
Oh, well, okay. If you're going to go that route, the cheap joke route, sure.
Well, see, I think there's so many like, prank accounts on TikTok and most of them are kind of mean
it's
not
a lot
like,
of like jump scare
well it's just not I don't know I my face watching those is just like I just have no reaction I don't know I've never been like a prank kind of humor person though.
That's true.
I think we have one of our daughters though is
they love to prank us.
Yeah,
they try to prank us.
And we're good sports about it. We pretend to be.
Yeah. I do remember one April Fool's joke that was not appreciated when I was a kid. We would try to prank my dad in particular because he was,
No.
He's not, he was just busy. He had a lot going on, a lot on his mind, very stressed out. You know, that period of life that we're in now, right? That's where he was. And there's just a lot.
He was working his ass off and he didn't feel like being pranked.
Correct. And so one day we put Rice Krispies in his work boots that he had to wear to go. And you know, when you're like trying to get out the door in the morning and you're in a rush and everything. And so he put his foot in and just crunched down on all these Rice Krispies. He was not abused. Not amused.
That's a good one.
We thought
See,
so.
That's a good like kid.
But
prank.
You know, we didn't have the like awareness yet to be like, that's not the time. Not the time.
When he's getting ready, trying to get off to work, and he's got to clean all that.
Yep.
All that shit.
Then
out
he's
of
probably
his...
gonna miss some of it, and it's gonna crunch his boots all day, and you know, just wasn't appreciated. But it was a good
imagine.
Effort.
It's probably the sound. I'm sure that was the sound he made when he stepped in his boot.
Definitely some form of yelling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It may have been more like that.
Oh, man. I'm excited about the April Fool's jokes we have in our future, particularly me. I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Like the kids will get into it.
Yeah.
Probably.
And, you know, we've got one kid who's. Well, both kids have a really good sense of humor, but one kid who leans toward the pranking, especially.
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah,
well,
I'm sure we're in for it.
Let's talk about our guests.
Let's do
it. This fine April day.
Yes, it's a very, it's an appropriate day to be having these guests because they have a book out today, April 2nd.
Absolutely. The Wisdom of Nurses. We're talking to Sarah Fung and Amy Archibald Varley. They are hosts of the Gritty Nurse podcast and authors of The Wisdom of Nurses out today. can go find it.
Yes, go get it.
Go get it. They are incredible nurses. They've worked at the bedside as in leadership, nursing leadership. They are just healthcare patient advocates. They've just done a lot of things, and it was fun to hear their perspective because we don't do a lot of nurse interviews on this podcast, but that's going to change. That's going to change.
All right.
We're going to do like we're going to do more. We're going to branch out a little bit. Get outside of my comfort zone as a physician.
Right. Yeah, which is under, I mean, that's what you are.
Yeah.
There's no shame in that. It's what you know.
But it was.
Now we can, now that we have this podcast, it's a good opportunity to learn about other perspectives as well.
Absolutely. So it was a great conversation, learned a lot. So should we get to it? What
Let's
do you say?
Go.
All right, here we go. Today's episode is brought to you by the Nuance Dragon Ambient Experience, or DAX for short. This is AI-powered ambient technology that helps the physician be more efficient and reduce clinical documentation burden. It's great. To learn more about how DAX Copilot can help reduce burnout and restore the joy of practicing medicine, stick around after the episode or visit nuance.com/discover DAX. That's nuance.com/discover DAX. All right, we are here with Sarah Fung and Amy Archibald Varley, two extraordinary nurses who are doing some incredible things out there in healthcare. We're so excited to have you on. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Coming to us from the Great White North in Canada. Are you doing okay? And is the winter long? Does it feel long?
This is the worst part. It's been going on approximately forever.
It's really annoying us right now in Portland because it just won't stop raining.
It's funny you ask because it's actually really warm today. So let's see, 20 Celsius, which is like in the 70s, like low 70s today.
What?
And then it's going to go cold again tomorrow.
Yeah, there's no snow. It's actually green grass. So it's a little bit of an anomaly. We're a little bit worried about climate change here.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice for today, but it's also terrifying.
It's good, but the earth is dying. So
little problems here.
We got a few years there.
That's funny because here it's abnormally cold. So everything's just all messed up right now.
Well, what I want to start with is, so I did a little bit of research. I actually Googled how many nurses are there in I didn't check Canada, but I checked the U.S. There's 3 million nurses, registered nurses currently in the U.S. My question for you is, where are they?
Because, we have the same question.
Right? Yeah. Right? I'm sure it's the same in Canada as well. All I hear all the time is like staffing, right? That's hospitals, surgery centers. That's like the one of the biggest frustrations. So I figure that's maybe a good place to start is what's going on right now?
That's a great question. I've heard different numbers for the states. I've heard 4 million. So maybe 1 million have just gone missing. In the last few years.
Oh, maybe. I did. Literally, all I did was search on Google how many nurses there are. So take that number with a grain of salt. There's probably a lot more.
That's a great question. I know in Canada, supposedly, there are 400,000 nurses, which makes sense because we're probably 10 times smaller than you guys. But I don't know where they are. And that's a question Amy and I have asked a lot because on paper, there's this many nurses. But are they actually working or have they left the profession?
Right.
Are they doing something else? That's a really difficult question to answer. And I think since the beginning of time, I'm going to say retention and staffing has always been an issue. But of course, the pandemic pulled back the veil and really exacerbated a lot of these underlying issues with staffing.
Yeah.
And maybe I would just chime in there in terms of kind of where I might think they are as well, because I think there's a difference between registered nurses. So any nurse can register, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're working and practicing in the hospital. So that's right. Where there's a discrepancy. I know here in Canada, we collect our registration data, but we don't collect where nurses are necessarily like dispersed data. So that's the problem what we have. We say, oh yeah, we have all these amazing nurses that we should have boots on the ground, but we actually don't know where they are all geographically and where they might be situated. So that's what the problem is really too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's been the pandemic really kind of kicked off this great resignation is the term I've heard from a lot of people. And You'll have to excuse me if I ask some basic questions about nursing, because as a physician, like, this is great. I'm so excited about this, just because, like, I don't have this, like, kind of conversation with nurses very often. So it's going to be a lot of fun, I think, to just get into your profession. So it might be very basic for you guys, like, you know, but for me and a lot of our audience, I think this will be helpful to hear, like, the issues that nurses are facing and how we're in this, or how at least our healthcare system, and I'm sure you have trouble in your healthcare system as well, that's making it more difficult for healthcare professionals. But the one thing that I also wanted to know about was this topic of travel nursing. Like, travel nursing has been around for a long time, and it seems like that's becoming more common in hospitals. I guess, is it that they need more staffing? They're low on staffing. And so they is there a service that you can, you know, just hire someone to come in from anywhere in the country or the world and have them do nursing for you? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, like, here we call it a mix between, like, travel nursing as well as, like, private agency nursing. And I'll be honest, it's kind of nurses going to where the money is and where the incentives are. Nurses are de-incentivized right now. A lot of us are very not happy with the way, whether it's staffing levels, whether it's, you know, keeping us on board, whether it's treating us well. For example, here in Canada, in Ontario, we had a bill called Bill 124, which actually restricted our wages and capped our wages during the pandemic, which you would think it'd be a time where, it was crazy. Yeah. And it was actually deemed unconstitutional. Our government was actually fighting with nurses. God. And just recently, the government lost. It was said it was unconstitutional. Wow. So they had to reverse the bill. But again, just kind of bringing it back, it's the fact that, nurses...
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
They should have just paid nurses what they deserved in the first place, right? And avoided all of this.
Yeah.
But essentially, like, it's going to where the money is, right? And going where incentives are. Yeah. If an organization is willing to pay you $175 an hour versus $30 an hour, you might decide to go with an agency, or you might decide to travel because there are better bonuses. But again, it leaves the staffing for, base staffing to be quite horrible, because these nurses are only assigned at various different intervals. So whether it's 3 months, it's just short assignment. So, but it leaves, those staffing levels at the base level really, really low, because nurses are being pulled to the private sector.
Yeah. And I would say also it's really about having more control over your work schedule, because a lot of nurses don't have that. You can only get hired into a full-time nursing position. Whereas if you're a travel nurse, you can kind of pick and choose, or you can take time off in between assignments. And a lot of nurses will actually quit the job they're at the hospital and take a travel nurse position and go back to that exact same hospital, getting paid double. And so you can imagine imagine the dynamics that creates.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Like, if I was making, let's say I was making $50 an hour, and Amy comes back as a travel nurse and makes $100 an hour, that creates a lot of animosity within the team. Why is one person getting paid twice as much as the other to do literally the same job?
Right.
Oh man. The professional dynamics and I can't imagine that we already have enough trouble, like, in the day-to-day grind of healthcare, and then to add the kind of interpersonal conflicts that I'm sure brings up challenging, to say the least.
Whose idea was this?
Well, I mean, this begs the question. So what do we do to, is it just pay? Is that, I mean, because everyone's always trying to come up with all these different solutions for how to improve retention and to make people happier in their jobs. But it can't just be the money part of it, right? There's got to be other factors that are pushing people out of nursing. And so can you speak on that a little bit?
Yeah, I would definitely say it's not just the money. Money is a part of it, but it's also about, like, the respect, right? I think one of the things that we did see during the pandemic was, here in Canada too, there were, lots of banging of pots and pans, people celebrating nurses. And then it kind of took a little bit of a shift where there was like a political discourse, an underlying political discourse that started to kind of emerge, and healthcare became very politicized. And then we were seeing, went from banging of pots and pans to some healthcare workers actually, sneaking into hospitals, being yelled at, being spat at. It was crazy, the flip in terms of how people were being treated. And again, I think it's also looking at just staffing levels. So I've probably worked as a nurse for over 10 to 15 years now. And we've been talking about staffing levels since the time I was in nursing school. So it's kind of like, why aren't we dealing with these like huge levels of staff, like issues with staffing? So just like, we're always working short, the hospital's underfunded, we're not getting enough nurses. And that was always a challenge, because at the end of the day, we want to give the best care that we can, but we can't if we don't have all the resources, we don't have the actual physical bodies to help us provide that. So I know some states, for example, like California, has staffing ratios. So it's like 1 to 5, 1 to 4. We don't have that here. BC, just here in Canada, has just started that, but we haven't even had that conversation. And I think the other piece is, like, we're a female dominated profession. There are, of course, men, and we welcome more men and folks of various different backgrounds to apply and be in nursing. But it presents that challenge when, you know, you need childcare, and those things aren't even talked about. So it makes it really complex for us to want to stay in the profession when we're not being respected or heard. And I think maybe Sarah will talk to this. At the beginning of the pandemic, we heard a lot from physicians, but we didn't hear from nurses, and nurses were scared to speak out. And that's kind of where Sarah and I stepped into this really strange realm where we just started speaking openly about our experiences, which was very scary, but it was important because nursing voices wasn't heard for a very long time, and we felt we need to fill that gap.
Yeah, there were.
Yeah, Sarah, tell us about that a little bit.
Just about filling the gap. Yeah, I think that just going back to what Amy said with, you know, safe staffing ratios, it is a scary, scary thought to think that you might be the only nurse for the entire unit. And that did happen during the pandemic, where there would be one nurse for 20 patients. And how can you really do anything except hand out medications? Never mind, you know, provide that emotional support and that teaching that patients really need. And that creates a lot of emotional distress, moral distress among nurses, that we know the level of care that's needed, yet we can't provide it, and we can never keep up with what we need to do. So I think there's a lot of different issues. So pay, safe staffing, whatever is happening on the West Coast, I think the rest of our countries need to get on board, because like Amy said, California, BC now have actual legislation with how many patients a nurse can have. And even out in California, they have something called a break relief nurse. And I'd never even heard of this before. So I think they're doing some really great things, and we could definitely take a lesson or two from them in terms of what the rest of us need to do. So a break nurse is literally someone, I'd never heard of this before, but someone.
A break? You get a break?
Break relief.
So there's a nurse.
It's a rare thing.
Around to all the other nurses and says, hey, I'm going to take care of your patients for, let's say, half an hour while you go have a break.
Yeah.
Because usually what I'm used to, and probably Amy's used to, we go on break and we have someone cover our patients for that time, right? So that's all we really have. It's not an actual extra body.
Yes. It's just working lunch, really.
Right. It's just other nurses taking on more work.
Right.
So that you could go to the bathroom.
Right.
Sometimes and sometimes not, right? It's wild.
Yeah. Going back to the staffing ratios for a second. So you mentioned that it's like 1 to 20 sometimes, and that's obviously not ideal.
That's outrageous.
But for those of us who are not in medicine or nursing, what is a good ratio? What is a safe ratio? What allows you to do your job well?
I think it depends on the area.
Go ahead, Sarah.
It depends on the area that you're in. So if you're in a critical care area, such as ICU or even labor and delivery with an actively laboring woman, it's 1 to 1 or 1 to 2 possibly. But in other, I would say more medical surgical areas where patients sleep at night, it might be 1 to 4 during the day and 1 to 6 in the evening when people are supposed to be sleeping. But laboring patients don't sleep, as you know. And in the ICU, they need really close monitoring.
Yeah, I'd say more so, like in LTC, you might see those really high ratios. So sorry, LTC is long-term care. You might see those really high ratios where it's 1 RN to 20 plus, and that's not safe as well.
Right. So you're doing essentially just to translate this, depending on the area, you're doing like the work of 3 to 20 nurses. One nurse is having to do.
Yes.
It does depend on the severity of the patients, of the care, or the complexity, I should say.
Like the acuity, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just like for other people listening, like imagine whatever your job is, that you have to now do that job 10. For 3 to 20 people, and it's just you. That's
and then,
absurd.
And then they're capping your pay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
then, yeah. So, no wonder. So I think we figured out where the nurses are going. I mean, my goodness. Takes a special person to have to like stay during all of this. This is stupid working conditions.
And then you get for Nurses Week, you get a rock.
Oh, don't even talk to me about Nurses Week.
Because
a paperweight.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Nurses Day gift?
I saw some really good things. It was
there's been some really, yeah.
I think some managers think that nurses are children and they would give them like gummy bears and jelly beans and they'd write a little note that would be like, "You're so sweet," like that kind of stuff. Which I think is
like
degrading.
Classroom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Elementary classroom.
Thing I saw was Amy just about the rock. It was like, here's a rock. Now bring your own paint to paint your rock for Nurses Week.
What?
You know, arts and crafts. Like maybe you can get
but we're not even going to supply you with the art materials.
Or,
you bring your own.
Or the time to do it. When are you gonna paint your rock?
You're doing 20 people's jobs.
on our break.
Right?
Oh my goodness.
I was I saw every Nurses Week. Same thing happens on like Doctor's Day. Where everybody loves making fun of the hospital gifts, right? And that inspired me. I did a video, I think it was last year, about all these
silly gifts.
Gifts and then the puns that they attach to the gifts, which almost just makes it so much worse.
Well, so let's talk about, I mean, we've kind of alluded to it, but you guys are all about just saying the thing. So let's say the thing. What would actually be a good nurse's gift? What would show appreciation to nurses?
BTO.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. Because it's funny that you said that. It's like, I heard nurses talking about like, I couldn't make my wedding date or I had to shift my wedding plans. And it's like, what are we doing? And it's just, there are nurses that are like, I can't take PTO. And it's like, what do you mean you can't? You're working so hard and we can't take a break. Yeah, that would be a lovely gift. Pizza's not on the list though. I know, yes, we love food, but pizza is not on the list.
Right, we're beyond pizza at this point.
I think it's giving us some steak, right? Giving nurses some agency to make some decisions. I think that's probably what nurses would really want. And I think that, when I think about what I would have wanted, I it's not about just being on a committee. It's just being able to have some form of agency in how we go about doing our work. So it's sad to say that it would be nice to have a break nurse or someone like that where I can take a full break, or even, I'll be honest, like worthy mental health resources. Cause I think that's the other thing that we don't get.
Oh, yeah.
There's something called presumptive care. So it's like a legislation which puts nurses with firefighters and EMS and police that if they were to experience, violence or trauma on the job, that they can get, PTSD and support and resources. We don't have presumptive care here. It's crazy. We don't, although there's stats that show that we have the same levels or higher levels of trauma and mental health, we don't have access to those resources. We would have to pay out of pocket, or we'd have like an EAP where you tell your story to someone for three sessions and then it's over. So I think that, if maybe we had some better resources that were actually, organizations said, hey, we value you, we want you to be here, and we're going to look after you from a mental health standpoint, I think that'd be really great.
Yeah. And I think I almost wish that there was a patient's like code of conduct almost, because I've heard so much about violence in healthcare, and especially during the pandemic, it's gotten a lot worse for nurses. And we have very few of any resources if we're physically attacked or verbally abused by a patient or their families. And it's always like, well, we need to provide care at all costs. But I do feel like there needs to be some onus or some accountability for people that abuse nurses. Just like if you were to hurt a police officer, there are repercussions for that. So I almost think something like that for Nurses Week would be nice. And just like, I guess going from a political approach, I almost wish that in our neck of the woods, we could get an apology from some of the politicians that capped our wages and did other things that were really harmful to the nursing profession.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Give us a list later and we'll try to get them on the podcast.
Track them down.
I've got the names, numbers, emails. I'll hook you up.
Okay. We'll try to get some apologies out of these folks. Well, you said something, Amy, earlier that, kind of piqued my interest in the fact that a lot of nurses felt or maybe continue to feel like they can't really speak out, because of either just probably mostly like job repercussions, right? You don't want to get in trouble. So how did the two of you, maybe we'll start with Sarah, like decide you wanted to have this bigger platform? What was the, I guess, the genesis of this, doing the podcast, the Gritty Nurse podcast, and just, you know, being vocal speakers about patient rights, and just help us navigate your path from practicing nurse, seeing patients to doing more of this public appearance.
Well, I think it was similar to your journey. I don't know if Amy and I intended for everything to happen that happened, and we started right before the pandemic. So Amy and I worked together in two different hospitals in similar roles, and there were a lot of instances where we felt bullied, we felt silenced, and we tried to take our concerns up to senior leadership, and they kept saying they were going to look into it, and we knew after a while they weren't going to. So
what was the role you were in? I'm just sorry to interrupt.
But... So we were in nursing leadership, Amy and I, and we were like educators basically. So we were responsible for helping new nurses learn the job and also continuing education for nurses who had already been there. And doing things like quality improvement. So we actually experienced a lot of bullying in nursing leadership, which is surprising because you would think that, I don't know what I thought. I didn't think that would be the case when I moved from bedside to nursing leadership, but it was almost worse. And I think, you know, Amy and I would drive home and we would have these phone calls as we were driving home just to kind of vent and debrief about everything. And now when I think about how we do the podcast, it's kind of similar. Like even the amount of time it took us to have these phone calls, that's kind of the length of the podcast that we have now. And it was just like feeling frustrated that we tried to bring our concerns up to leadership and they weren't doing anything. So we just said, you know what, why don't we create our own platform and share our stories? And, you know, we're sure that someone out there has experienced what we have and we don't want them to feel alone. So that was the beginning of how it started. And then the pandemic happened and then everything kind of snowballed from there.
Yeah. How did you saw this bullying, this type of mentality from nursing leadership, or is it from nursing or toward nursing leadership? Is that
or both?
It was like,
it's a little bit from A and B.
Yeah, I would say. But mainly it was from our colleagues, and later on it was our manager. So what do you do when it's your manager that's the bully? Because that's usually the person you're supposed to go to for help.
So what did you, I guess, were you successful in changing that culture at all? Like, what were the steps that you took to set a new standard?
I'll let Amy speak because she actually wrote a letter and tried to do other things to, you know, try and make the situation better.
Yeah,
it was really wild because, you know, I think, again, we have something called an internal reporting system, and, you know, you could put anything in there, anything from like patient care incidences up to like something personal. So again, what Sarah said, how can you put in, you know, that you're being harassed or bullied by your leadership when that IRS will go to your leadership team? So I remember reaching out to leaders that were higher than this individual, and they're like, oh, we'll investigate. And I don't know if you've heard of this, that happened recently, is called a letter to my abuser. And I did something similar where I kind of wrote this letter about the healthcare system, and particularly that, you know, systems continue to perpetuate people and lift people up who continue to do really poor work, and not just poor work, but continue to bully those. Although this person might be producing results that the hospital wants, they're also doing it off of the backs of their, you know, their nursing staff. And they said to me, oh, you know, we're going to make changes. We're going to change the way that we look at mental health here. I have heard nothing. Okay. Not a word. I think I left that place, and I actually quit without having any prospects because I just knew that it was actually best for my mental health. I was actually really, really sick. And I was actually at the point where I felt that I might've taken my own life. And I said, you know what? I had a lot of support. So I had people that were really standing around me, and I just knew that I had to leave. So I left with no prospects. And it kind of leads into what Sarah mentioned. I said to Sarah one day, I said, why don't we just start a podcast? And I remember her being like, what's podcast? And I was like, my cousin has one. Let's listen. And I was just like, you know, who knows who's listening? And I'm like, but at least we can share our stories. because I think storytelling is really powerful. And it can't be just us. We're not the only people that are experiencing this. Other folks must experience this too. So we just started telling our stories and it kind of took off from there. And then again, like Sarah said, the pandemic hit and it was very interesting. There were physicians that were kind of talking on behalf of nurses, talking about, you know, things that were happening and what they saw in nursing. And I said to Sarah, I'm like, this is crazy. Why are physicians speaking for nurses? And I went into the Twitterverse before it turned into like, you know, a little bit of a mess.
What it is now.
And I was just like, why are physicians talking for nurses? Talk to nurses. And we had our first national news hit. They reached out to us. It was the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation for a national news piece to talk about nursing and that we're here and we're ready to be a part of the call. And we had no idea what we were doing. They're just like, put your camera on Zoom and, you know, we'll ask you these questions. And it was terrifying. It was scary. And the thing is, like, we can't see ourselves, but you can see them on the other end and hear them. And then there was like a little bit of a delay because then they pulled our video up and I'm like, oh my God, there I am on TV. I'm trying to answer this person's question. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But I think it started this whole movement for us to start talking about what we were seeing, what we were hearing, our experiences. And it was definitely a process, but it was something well worthwhile because we need to be seen in those spaces as well.
Oh, absolutely.
It's so interesting to me. Like, we have different healthcare systems, obviously, the US and Canada, and different issues in each system. But despite that, like, what I'm hearing that's the same is that it's so easy for our healthcare systems and institutions to forget about the humanity of the people in the institutions, you know, whether that's patients or nurses or physicians. I mean, I'm seeing it at every single level, you know, that it's just something that is so overlooked. It's just like, how do we make sure that everyone in these walls has their basic human needs and dignity respected and taken care of? And it's interesting and discouraging and frustrating, you know, to see that this seems to be an issue that, you know, crosses international lines even. And how do we, I don't know. I think it's a long-term fix. I don't know to fix that, but it just needs to be pointed out. Like, that's our mission, right? As our company is just to bring, you know, humanity back into healthcare in various ways. And I don't know. It strikes me.
Yeah. And I'm so glad you were able to be there, like be that nursing voice. I honestly didn't even think about that. I mean, there was it's funny you say like you really didn't know what you were doing and it was scary. Like, nobody knew what they were doing at that time, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
Like, all like, I how many of us like knew what Zoom was like before 2020? I don't think I had ever known.
Well, I did.
You probably did, but you were working remotely for like several years,
right?
But it's just good on you for like recognizing that gap in that. There's no way the public should have only been hearing from physicians.
Especially like about topics like the nursing shortage. I think that's what drove me over the edge. It's like, why were you talking about the nursing shortage? You would never ask a nurse about the physician shortage, right?
Right.
Yeah, and they start creating...
like in our country, you know, men making decisions about women's health.
Well, yeah.
Example. That is crazy.
Yeah, it was so weird because they would create all these tables and forums. So they're like, oh, here's the COVID-19 task force. And there's like 15 doctors and like not a nurse. And it's like, really? Like, we're the one, like, there's actually a cute little saying that's like, you know, we give the shots. Why can't we call the shots? Right. And I think it was just, we were left off of so many agency making or decision making tables where it was just like, Sarah and I were just like, you know what? Fine. If you don't want to invite us to the table, we'll kind of create our own. And that's kind of how the podcast it was like a springboard for us, because the other piece that led us into a variety of different things, like actually doing some work in politics, you know, working with political leaders across Canada and being able to have that say, because I don't think that otherwise, if not even just myself and Sarah, but if, you know, nurses didn't start speaking up, that we would be left off. And it's just kind of like we're seen and not heard. We're like these angels and we do all this great work, but we're not really heard from. Yeah. And we really want to change how that looks.
That always makes me mad, because you see the same thing with like moms, or let's be honest, most female dominant right. professions, teaching, right, where you praise them effusively and the this most important jobs in the world and all these things. And it's like, well, then pay us, you yeah. know, like, mm-hmm. or whatever the issue is, you know, show it in your actions, not your yeah. words. Yeah. What kind of things would you guys, you know, what kind of agency is missing? Like, what types of issues would you like to have agency and decision-making power around?
Yeah, I think we nurses need to be seen a little bit more in politics. I know you guys have some really great nurses out there. We always shout out. We're like, hey, Cori Bush, come on her podcast. But I think we just need to see more nurses in various different roles, right? And I think that, you know, when we have that ability to, you know, be in politics, be in communications, be in the media, that you'll see nursing in a very different light. And we're actually giving, you know, the public a little bit of a different insight into how nurses operate. Because I think that there's a little bit of a fallacy where nurses just work at the bedside. But we can see be seen as so much more different areas. And I feel that when I think about, you know, patient outcomes or I think about policy, how can we not be a part of that? We deliver the care, we see the intricacies and the issues that happen right at the bedside or in public health. And how can we not be a part of how these policies or these things are formed? So it's just, that's what I mean by agency, but it's for whatever reason, we're just not seen as, you know, leaders in these areas, or we're not seen as experts in these areas. Where we're starting to change that, because we really are, and we need that voice needs to be heard, and that perspective needs to be given as well.
I would love to see more nurses in business. I think that's another area that's mm-hmm. missing. More nurses that are CEOs, especially of hospitals and other healthcare organizations. One of the things that our journey led us to is also we have a book coming out. So that's coming out April 2nd. And one of the opening part of the book is like, can you name a famous nurse? But it can't be Florence Nightingale. And that's mm-hmm. where people usually get stuck, because we've had this one nurse that people have looked up to for over 100 years. And why don't we have other nurses who are actually alive that people know about? And, you know, I think that's definitely something we need to keep amplifying.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I want to get into your book here. Let's take a quick break and then we'll be right back. Talk some more. Hey, Kristen.
Yeah.
AI tools are everywhere now.
That is true. And they're here to stay.
That's right. Well, have you heard about Precision?
What
is it? This is great. This is the first ever EHR integrated infectious disease AI platform.
Ooh, that sounds useful.
Infectious disease, it's a hard field. You got to figure out when to start antibiotics and try to decrease resistance and how long to keep the patient. It's really tough.
Yeah.
Well, this is an AI tool that automatically highlights better antibiotic regimens. It empowers clinicians to save more lives while reducing their burnout. To see a demo, go to precision.com/KKH. That's precision spelled with an X instead of an E. So precision.com/KKH. All right, we are back with Sarah Fung and Amy Archibald Varley. I have a quick question coming from the perspective of a physician. Just what is one thing that physicians should know about the nurses that they work with, besides like don't touch the IV poles? Like, we all know that, obviously, but like what is a way that we can help you in your in whatever way you want to interpret that?
That's a good question. I would say just help people understand that it's not a hierarchy, because I think people still think like the doctor's up here and the nurse is here and we're just handmaidens that are supposed to take orders. So I think there's this general public perception that that's how nursing was 100+ years ago, and that's how it still is. So just helping people understand that we are the eyes and ears and backbone of the profession, and we're all on the same team. We just have different roles. That's what I would want some people to know.
And I'd add to that as amplify our voices too, right? So, you know, for every doctor show or every, you know, podcast that there might be, like, for example, what you're doing today, you're amplifying nursing voice. So if you have the opportunity, you have the platform, you have the wherewithal, please amplify what's happening in our nursing profession, because there is agency and power in your voice. It's kind of the whole idea of, you know, power shifting, right? If you have power, shift it, shift the narrative, and share your voice and lend your voice to say, hey, you know what? Although I'm a physician, this is happening. And here's a really excellent colleague that can talk to you about this or whatever the case may be. But amplify our issues, amplify us as a profession, and, you know, bring us to the tables when you can.
Great suggestions.
Yeah.
So tell me about your book. So I'm always impressed by anybody who has the... Right there. If you're watching it on YouTube, you can see it. She's holding it up.
Holding
it's
it
the
up.
Wisdom of nurses.
I just want to show you guys. I'm super excited because... but we're in the, inside cover too. Like, this is legit. This is legit.
Hey. Nice picture there. That's a nice cover. I like it.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
How long you been working on this book?
Oh, almost 3 years. Almost 3 years. Yeah.
What an undertaking. Man.
Takes a long time.
That alone makes me think I'm never going to write a book.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know how, it just seems really hard. But so tell us a bit about it. What can people...
Yeah, no one ever like teaches you how to sit down and write a book.
No, it is definitely a process. I mentioned, the book really starts out by saying, can you name a famous nurse? And most people can only name Florence Nightingale, if anybody. So like we wanted this to be just opening the public's eyes as to what type of nursing, like what do nurses actually do and what kinds of diversity exist in nursing. So we have a number of stories from different nurses, as well as Amy and my own story about how we got into nursing and our journey to becoming who we are today.
Yeah. And I think what we wanted to do really is shift the perspective, right? I think, again, like we want people to see nursing in a different light. So we're not just lamp bearers. We are not just, you know, we're not the ladies of the lamp anymore. These kind of various different tropes. We're not sexy nurses. Like, we kind of talk about the myths too, right? We kind of break them down, but it's not just a book for nurses. It's actually a book for the general public, because we want people to really understand where we're coming from. And the aspect of the power of storytelling is kind of the narrative right through our book. We're really telling stories and sharing experiences so people can connect with, you know, the things that we've experienced, the things that we've seen, the things that, you know, sometimes we go a little bit on the, you know, funny side, where we might talk about a horror story or something related to healthcare. But I think we just want people to see that we're such an eclectic group. We have such a variety of backgrounds, and that we really want to change and shape the way that people view nurses, because there is wisdom in our voice. And we want people to really understand and acknowledge that and come on this journey with us.
Yeah, I love that title, because it just immediately, you know, points out kind of the crux of everything that you're saying today and through your podcast of you have wisdom there. You have things to add and things to say, and they're valuable things that are being ignored. So, you know, being able to give those things a voice is very important.
And who doesn't love good nursing stories?
I mean, right? Yeah, really. Like, I mean, you guys see it all.
I would say the majority of the stories that get sent to us, because we're always asking for stories, are these crazy nursing stories.
Yeah,
we have a few of those in there too, for sure.
Good. Definitely people should check it out. But I have a little activity for us to do. Let's see. So this is called Name That Nurse.
Right. Very appropriate what?
Exactly.
Oh no! Name am I going to pass this
oh,
test?
Oh no!
Am I allowed to?
So
Google?
We're going to. I mean,
we can't see what you're doing. So,
you know what?
You know?
This isn't pro metric. We're not going to, like, you know, right. We don't have a lot of opportunities
to avoid.
Check your
phones in into the lockers.
Exactly. Avoid cheating, but. So what we're going to do is we're going to read descriptions of either famous real nurses or fictitious nurses.
All right.
Okay. And you got to try to, you know, guess who it is. Now, some of these are kind of tough. All right. Now, here we go. Well, I think they're tough, but you probably have much more knowledge about real and fake nurses out there. All right, here we go. Considered one of the most iconic movie villains.
Oh.
She doesn't yell at her patients in the mental institution where the film takes place, but she does manipulate them in horrible ways, all for her own purposes.
Is it Nurse Ratched?
Nurse Ratched from
Nurse
One
Ratched.
Flew Over the Cuckoo's
Yes.
Nest?
Ooh, okay. From One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Nice job. Which I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
Yeah.
But that is like the classic evil nurse.
She's pretty bad.
There was that Netflix reboot recently. I watched that one.
Oh,
I
was
didn't
there,
even know.
I didn't. I wasn't aware about
We're
that.
We're very out of touch.
Oh no, I did hear about people talking about that. Was it called Ratchet?
Or yeah, it was called Ratchet. Yeah,
I think yeah, that's right. What'd you think of it? Is it good?
Oh, it was morbid. There's some really sick things.
I thought it was
things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right, here we go. A nurse anesthetist, the co-founder of the School of Nurse Anesthesia at Harlem Hospital in 1951, and the first African-American president of the American Association of Nurse Anesthetists.
Oh, no, I saw she this name part, just recently.
She was part of the surgical team that operated on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. after a 1958 assassination attempt, manually pumping his breathing bag. She also lived to be 103 years old.
I just saw her name.
Oh, like, I feel like we should get a pass because we're in Canada.
No, it was literally a part of Black History Month. But no, it was a part of Black History Month. And I saw
maybe
it on LinkedIn like 2 days
that.
Ago. Oh, no.
It's okay. I didn't know this at all. I did, you know, this is research. And like you said, you do get a pass because this is very American centric. The answer is Goldie D. Brangman.
Yes. Yeah, there was a post about her on LinkedIn a couple of days ago.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
What an interesting life story.
Right?
Like. I'll look her
that's
up now.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Right, Goldie D. Brangman. Everybody check her out. She lived to be 103 years old. Can you imagine living another like 70 years?
I gotta say, I'm not sure that'd be all that cracked up to
not
me.
With the current state of affairs. Like, no, please.
My body's already falling apart.
Like 85, like, I'm ready. Let's wrap this up.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. In a school where students contend with everything from werewolves to dragons to vomiting slugs, this nurse is a remarkable healer.
Sounds like someone from Hogwarts.
Yeah, it is. You guys remember it? I don't know if you're Harry Potter fans, if you remember the name of the nurse in Harry Potter.
The nurse in Harry Potter. Oh, my goodness.
That's a hard one.
That is a hard one.
She's, like, mentioned a few times, but she's not, like, a main character by any means.
It's Madame Pomfrey. Madame Pomfrey from Harry Potter.
What episode? What one of the seven was she in?
Yeah.
All right, this is, I actually feel kind of embarrassed including this one now, but let's go and do it. She's regarded as the founder of modern nursing. She became a champion for nursing as a profession in England and internationally. You probably already know who I'm talking about.
Mrs. Good Old Flo.
Yeah.
Flo, Nurse Flo.
Miss Flo.
She founded the first professional school of nursing, and her book, Notes on Nursing, became a foundational text. Pioneer in the use of statistics, histogram. Really a fantastic, you know, amazing
individual.
I mean,
there's a reason that she became famous, but there are more than just the one.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That was an easy one. All right. Here's one that this might be kind of tough because it's a little bit older. Working as the head nurse at the U.S. Mobile Army Surgical Hospital Unit during the Korean War.
Mary's
a no-nonsense. By the book authority figure nicknamed for the temperature of her lips.
I was going to say Mary Seacole, but maybe I'm wrong.
This is from the show MASH.
From the show MASH.
Nicknamed for the temperature of her lips.
Oh my gosh. I was like maybe like seven when MASH was out.
I know. Right? This is a hard one for this group.
Margaret Hot Lips Houlihan.
Oh, I can't hot lips in my head too.
No, that was a long time ago. That would have been a question for my mom. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right. Last one I have here. She is a pioneer in establishing nurse midwifery and a system for providing care in rural eastern Kentucky. She founded the Frontier Nursing Service and later opened the Frontier School of Midwifery and Nursing Services.
Well, this is, again, very American-centric.
So. We are not doing well. I think we've gotten two right answers so far.
No, that's tough.
Nurse midwifery.
Are you Googling? Looking down.
I'm looking down for inspiration. I should be looking up for inspiration. I have no idea.
Mary Breckenridge.
Don't know her.
I don't know.
Don't know her.
Don't worry.
Yeah. These were hard. Why don't you guys tell us before we wrap up, about, you know, one or two nurses that we should know about.
Yeah, who should we know? Yeah. Who should we know about?
Well, actually, we go through them in our book, too. We go through about 12.
Can you give us one or two?
Well, yeah, Amy and I are one or two.
Don't want to spoil anything from the book.
We decided that we should be on that list.
I mean, if you're making the list, why not?
Throw your names
in there. You know who I found who I didn't actually know about. I kind of, we know her from a variety of other things like the Underground Railroad, but Harriet Tubman, she was also a nurse, and it kind of threw me for a whirl because she actually lived in St. Catharines, which is in Hamilton. And yeah, she was also regarded as a nurse. And I was just like, why didn't we know that Harriet Tubman also was a nurse? Yeah. So she had many, many skills, and nursing was one of them.
Wow. Mm.
And the other one who we still hope to get on our podcast one day is Cori Bush. Would love to have Cori Bush on the podcast. So
Cori Bush, if you're listening.
Absolutely. Well, I think I made that a little bit too hard.
Yeah, that was pretty tough.
So next time when you come on our show.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Treat for you guys.
You can have revenge. Yeah.
I probably would not, if we did the same thing, but for physicians, I would probably not do very well.
Yeah.
I don't know,
so good.
The history of medicine. Yeah.
I'm not like a history buff by any means. You knew that about me.
Yeah, but I mean, to their point, I think there are physicians that just everybody knows about.
If I could go back and redo that, it would be like famous Canadian nurses. I think
that might have been a little bit easier.
Be a little bit better.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Well, all right. So I want to make sure that everybody knows about all the things that you guys are doing. So The Wisdom of Nurses, it comes out April 2nd. Is that right?
Yep. We didn't want to make it April Fool's, so it's April 2nd.
It's real.
We're not kidding. We're really letting out a book.
Right.
You can pre-order them, pre-order the book if you'd like. There it is. The Wisdom of Nurses. Were you involved in the cover selection there?
They kind of showed us various different designs.
There was like actually a surprising amount of conversation that went into the stethoscope, believe it or not. Because because we were like, what's one image that could represent nursing? And then we're like, well, we can't do the lamp because that's too antiquated. It can't be our faces because they said it shouldn't
can't be a
face.
Cap or a skirt. No.
Yeah, no.
Right.
And then we thought a
sounds
syringe
like maybe
might
IV
be a little,
pole could have been
maybe
a...
IV pole, but syringe might have been a little violent looking. So a lot of thought went into
blood
this.
Blood pressure cuff. I don't know.
That's a good idea.
But you stethoscope, you're doing manual blood pressures anyway. You're using that. So I think stethoscope's a good choice.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you also got the whole thing about, doctors stealing nurses' stethoscopes.
And pens.
I was going to say, yeah.
Where did my pen go?
Exactly.
Would you like pens for Nurses Week?
Good pens. Ones that write smoothly and don't explode all over your...
Exactly. We're gonna get ourselves in trouble.
Splurge on the really good pens and put nurse on them all.
We also have to shout out your podcast, obviously, the Gritty Nurse Podcast. Listen to a couple episodes. Fantastic. It's just, you guys have a great chemistry together, and what an awesome insight into nursing. Yeah, the your recent episode about the it's like a true crime flavor.
Bruce Ackman.
He's awesome.
Amazing.
Fascinating stuff. So yeah, definitely check out the Gritty Nurse Podcast. Anything else?
Where
can people find all the information?
Oh my goodness.
Drop
all the handles.
All right. Well, you can go to our website, which is grittynurse.com. We have a YouTube channel. We're on all the major podcast platforms. So Apple, Spotify, Google, iHeartRadio. What else? We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're everywhere except TikTok. So don't look for us on TikTok.
Okay.
There you go.
There's still time. There's still time to get on TikTok. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It really was a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you so much
for having us.
Hey, Kristen.
Yeah.
Notice anything different about me?
You look the same as always.
I'm covered in mites.
Well, you don't have to tell everyone that.
Maybe you need a mite too. Ugh. What do you think?
I prefer to be mite free.
You know what these things are? They're Demodex.
I know. They're enormous.
Have you ever had red, itchy, irritated eyelids?
No, but that does sound very uncomfortable.
It could be caused by one of these little guys. Mm. Now, they're a lot smaller in real life.
Well, that's comforting at least.
But they're called Demodex, and it can cause problems with the eyelids. They're the mites that live on your eyelashes.
Mm, just chomping on all that goo.
Now, it might seem gross, but you don't want to get grossed out by this.
Okay.
All right. You got to get checked out.
That's very sensible.
Go to your eye doctor. Ask about Demodex blepharitis. All right. That's really what you got to do. Or DB. if you want to be a little shorthand with it.
Yeah, make it sound like you know what you're talking
about. Exactly. To find out more, you can go to eyelidcheck.com. Again, that's EYELIDcheck.com to find out more information about these little guys.
Tell them Dr. Glockenflecken sent you.
That's right. Demodex blepharitis. Well, they were fun.
They were fun.
We
were good sports about that game. That was hard.
I know. We got to have more nurses on the podcast.
Yes. Like, if you have suggestions, nominations. Yes,
absolutely. They're talking about like we got to like platform more healthcare professionals, right? More
healthcare is a branch very out a little broad bit.
It's not just
field.
Physicians.
Yes.
And right. I'm like just as bad as anybody of just like focusing in on physicians.
Well, that's
what
you are. So, I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing to talk about, you know, your experience.
Out.
But yes, there are a lot of experiences within the healthcare field.
There sure are. All right. Should we get a fan story in?
Yes.
All right. Let's do it. So this is Melissa. Melissa says, "Hi, I just found your podcast after listening to the Sawbones episode when you visited. We were on the Sawbones.
Fun. Yeah.
And then they came on ours.
That's right. We had a little crossover.
A little home and home thing, mm-hmm. Which is a lot of fun talking with them.
Yeah. It was like a Twilight Zone, you know, like version of ourselves. Yeah.
Wait, why?
It was so bizarre to talk to.
Oh, because
to,
we had, they're a couple
like,
and we're a couple.
Name another like medical comedy couple podcast.
That's true.
It's that one.
Absolutely. And let's see. So she says, saw the Sawbones and was glad to find it because I've always enjoyed the Glockenflecken post on social media. I just noticed I was listening to the episode you all made on the podcast with Justin and Sydney that Will stated he has a tendency to just spout things off without fact-checking himself. I do have that problem from time to time. And I wanted to let you know that we have a word for that in our family that my friend Nicole came up with. Nicole and I both noticed that our teenage sons tend to do this. And since my son teaches aerospace lessons in his Civil Air Patrol squadron, I've heard him say a number of things that were amusingly made up during those lessons, but delivered with perfect
That's
confidence.
That's not an area that you want things being made up.
We call this testifidence. Testifidence. There you go. Testifidence, because it's a tendency to testify with perfect confidence, something that you don't actually know all the details.
I thought that was going to go to like testosterone men tend to do this.
There's like like a double entendre there with testicles.
Yeah,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. I love it. Testifidence. Testify with perfect confidence with your testicles.
Mm-hmm. There you go. That
Use
is
your,
it.
Your testicles to testify.
Yep. Even when you don't have them,
works
apparently.
On so many levels.
Still works.
So now we have a word for it. I'm going to use that. Testifidence. Mm-hmm. All right. Testifidence.
Yeah.
So call me out when I have too much.
Your testifidence. It's going to be a key word now in our house.
Thank you, Melissa, and to your friend Nicole for coming up with that. Send us your stories, knockknockhi@human-content.com. Thanks for joining us. What a wonderful episode. Let us know what you thought. We'd love to hear your feedback. Again, any potential guests that we should think about having on? We're always open to suggestions. You can reach out to us several ways. You can email us, knockknockhi@human-content.com. Also, game ideas.
Yeah.
That's
surprisingly hard to come up with game ideas episodes.
The idea was good, but to basically just that game with the nurse. Well, it just perfectly encapsulates what they were talking about, how nobody knows anything about nurses. Like, coming up with famous nurses, either in real life or in fictional, like there's not a lot out there.
Right. I was disappointed to see that you did not mention the Outlander nurse.
Oh.
That would have been an easy throw over to me. Claire Beecham. Randall Fraser.
You are so obsessed with that show. All right, email us, knockknockhi@human-content.com. We're on all the social media platforms. Also, you can hang out with our Human Content Podcast family on Instagram and TikTok. We're a very supportive family, very supportive. Human Content Pods on TikTok. Thanks to all the listeners leaving feedback and reviews. If you subscribe and comment, you can't do one, you got to do both. Subscribe and comment. Don't comment without subscribing. No, we don't want that.
Well, now you're just getting bossy.
Okay. All right. You can do whatever you want. I'm not the boss of you people. But if you do both of those things on your favorite podcasting app or on YouTube, we can give you a shout out. Like Ashley8833 on YouTube said, we can't overlook the eyelid. I love how unintended that pun was.
Oh, I bet you didn't even mean to do that.
I did not mean to do that.
That's a good
one. Can't overlook the eyelid. That's good.
Mm-hmm. It's in reference to a Knock Knock Eye episode.
Oh, yes, yes. I did
recently about eyelids.
I did a show. I did a podcast episode on eyelid twitching.
Mm. Lots of questions about twitching. I hate eyelid twitching.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to hear,
it's really annoying.
If you want to hear all of it in excruciating detail, go over to that Knock Knock
Eye. Okay, I gotta admit, I did not listen to your episode.
You never listen to my Knock Knock Eye episodes.
I know, but you know, I hear it on your phone calls. But I haven't ever heard a call about eyelids, I don't think. Here's all I want to know.
Because that's an immediate, like, next available appointment.
Eyelid twitching?
Yeah, that's not, it's not, like, you mean on call? Like, yeah. No one calls about eyelid twitching.
Right.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. Like, that's a thing that can
like
wait.
That's
not a pants patient. It's a thing
month.
That can wait. Right. But here's what I want to know.
It goes away.
Here's what I want to know. What makes it go away? How do I make it go away faster? Because I hate it.
You can't, I mean, you need to get better, more sleep. You need to get less caffeine. Maybe if you listen to the episode, you would know the answer to these questions, Kristen. God. It's like, what am I, Cliff Notes
listen,
over here? Come on.
How much time do you want me to devote to the words you say?
It's a 30-minute
good
episode.
Brief. You every
listen,
week.
Okay, every morning you listen to Armchair Expert for like 4 hours.
Yeah, I'm not married to them.
You can't give me 30 minutes of eyeball knowledge? Come on now. That's all right. All right, full video episodes are up every week on my YouTube channel at DGlock and Flecken. We also have a Patreon. Lots of cool perks, bonus episodes where we react to medical shows and movies. Hang out with other members of the Knock Knock High community. Like us. We're there. We like being there. It's fun. Early ad-free episode access, interactive Q&A, live stream events, much more. Patreon.com/GlockandFlecken or go to GlockandFlecken.com. Speaking of Patreon community perks...
I don't know why you have to say it like you're choking on it.
Well, that's what it sounds like in the native German. Ach, I'm fucking. New member shout out to Valerie A, Caitlin
Hi,
S,
Valerie A.
Kelly G, Angus C, Kaylee A.
Oh, welcome everyone.
Yeah, hello. We're so happy to have you. Shout out to all the Jonathans as always. A virtual head nod to you all. Patrick Lucia C, Sharon S, Omar, Edward K, Stephen G, Jonathan F, Marion W, Mr. Granddaddy, Caitlin C, Brianna L, KL, Keith G, JJ H, Derek N, Mary H, Zana F, Ginny G, Ginny J. How do I say that?
That one's always hard for you.
Ginny J. What's hard? Ginny J. Mohammed K, Aviga, Parker, Ryan, Mohammed L, David H, Jack K, Kaylee A, Medical Meg, Bubbly Salt, and Pink Macho. I appreciate that our producers kept Pink Macho at the very
last,
end.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a good one to end on.
I hope that Pink Macho never unsubscribes because I feel like it'd be
I think
very obvious at this point.
It's impossible. You're not allowed to. You're locked into a lifetime contract with us, Pink Macho. Patreon Roulette, random shout out to someone on the emergency medicine tier. Martha S., thank you for being a patron. Thank you. That was I left the gap in there for you to do a drum roll, but you didn't.
Oh.
You didn't.
I didn't get that memo. Okay. You usually do the drum roll.
Thank you all for listening. We're your hosts, Will and Kristen Plain. We're also known as the Glock and Flecken. Special thanks to our guests, Amy Archibald Varley and Sarah Fung. Our executive producers are Will Flannery, Kristen Flannery, Aaron Corney, Rob Goldman, and Shanti Brooke. Editor and engineers Jason Portizo. Our music is by Omer Binsby. To learn about I love saying his name, Omer Binsby.
That was a new take.
Binsby.
Yeah.
To learn about our Night Night Highs program disclaimer ethics policy, you can go to glockandflecken.com or reach out to us at knockknockhigh@human-con.
I'm not sure it's legal to do that.
Whatever. It's weird. It's just like our podcast. With any questions, just read out.
The website.
Just reach us.
Go to the Twitter.
Knock Knock High is a human content production.
Goodbye.
Hey, Kristen.
Yeah.
What do you think about my Dax co-pilot?
He's very cute. Almost as cute as mine.
Oh, he's great. He just sits right there.
I know.
Can I tell you about Dax?
Yeah, tell me.
Oh, man. It's fantastic. The Dragon Ambient Experience from Nuance. Mm. They call it Dax Copilot.
That's cute.
Yeah. He helps with documentation burden, reducing burnout. In fact, 80% of patients say their physician is more focused using the DAX Copilot. That's huge.
That's pretty good.
We all want to be able to connect more with our patients.
Right.
And all the documentation we have to do now, it makes it almost impossible.
Yeah, easy to burn out.
Absolutely.
That's your job.
And 85% of patients say their physician's more personable and conversational.
I like that.
I need help being conversational
you
sometimes.
You do.
And DAX is one of those things that can help you get there. So to learn more about the Nuance Dragon Ambient Experience or DAX Copilot, visit nuance.com/discoverDAX. That's nuance.com/discoverDAX.
Human cockpit.